going to be reading from Colossians 3:12 today. The title is called God's Safe Haven. You know, in Colossians, I'm going to be reading 3:12 through 14. And if you look early on in Colossians, what Paul is referencing is we are new creatures in Christ. We have to live that way. So I decided to whittle it down to just these three verses. Paul writes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." You know, during World War II in 1944, President Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt, he brought 982 refugees to America. You know, many of these refugees had been in concentration camps and had escaped. Now, where did he bring them? He brought them to Oswego, New York. You know, the camp gates were not permanently closed. He brought them to Fort Ontario. Children left to go to school. Oswego residents passed food through holes in the gate and items such as a bicycle over it. One pair of refugees even got married. They got a license at Oswego City Hall, and the ceremony was held under a canopy on the parade grounds at Fort Ontario. First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt visited the refugees. It wasn't freedom, but it wasn't prison. And eventually, those who wished managed to remain in America after the war ended. Now, originally, the president had said, "You're going to come here, and when the war ends, we're going to send you back." You know, a lot of these were families, and they also chose people who had skills so they could keep their little city running, you know, a lot of times just by themselves. And one of the testimonies of Oswego is they welcomed these refugees. You know, they cared. It said how they visited them. They gave them food through the fence. You know, these people, some had been in concentration camps. They came to this place. It's a safe haven. They were safe. People loved them. They gave to them. Last week, Wade Smith spoke about baggage. And what baggage is, we all have pain from our past. We have different things that have shaped us in good ways and things that have impacted us in negative ways. One of the things that I know, it's hard for people, for the most part, to be open about what their baggage is. You know, this happened to me in the past. I have this pain in the past. And if you're wise, you don't just tell the world about it. You tell people that you can trust and that you love. And I want to talk to us today, just as the city of Oswego welcomed these refugees, this church is called to love the unlovely. This church is called to love people that have pain and suffering. And I chose these verses in Colossians because it speaks of how we're supposed to live. You know, I'm reading a book by this pastor, and he's challenging. One of the things he says is, can Jesus be your Savior without being your Lord? What does he mean by that? Okay, when I say Jesus is my Savior, Jesus is my rescuer. What do I mean by that? When we're born on the road to hell because we're sinners due to Adam. Jesus came to take us off that road by paying the penalty for our sins. So if I go to him and I say, please forgive me, now I have the identity of Christ in my life. Now God looks at me and he sees Christ, not sinful Dick Beaumont. Okay, he's my Savior, but is he my Lord? You know, if you read the words of Jesus, he calls us to be slaves. And a lot of times what I'm saying about he's not our Lord, he's not our leader is, you know, and what this pastor is saying, and please understand, I'm not saying this, but he has a good point. Are you saved if he's not your Lord? If he's not your Lord? Can you be saved without giving your life totally to Jesus Christ? Now, obviously, it's a progression. Christianity is a progression. And one of the things that Paul is talking about in Colossians 3, he's saying, you know what? Your life needs to reflect your salvation. And that's what I want to talk about. You know, once I became a Christian, people noticed that I changed. And I hope that they still notice that I'm changing, because that's how it's supposed to work. What I'm speaking about today is reflecting Jesus. You know, again, Colossians, in the final two chapters of Colossians, Paul addresses the need for Christians to demonstrate their relationship with Christ by how they live. You know, the Bible tells us our personal lives need to reflect our faith. See, in Paul's day, a lot of the pagan religions didn't address personal morality. You could go to any of the other false religions and you could live whatever. You could live terrible lives, you could whatever, party, sleep around, etc., etc., and they didn't care, because your personal life really had nothing to do with your faith. But God, through, you know, in the Bible, in Christ, he introduces a new concept. How you live needs to show your faith. My faith has to have a direct connection to how I live. I want to do this. God, are you telling me to do it? And there's sometimes that God speaks to me where there's stuff that is not sinful to do, but God says, I don't want you to do that. So my faith has to be evidenced by how I live. You know, Christ lives in us through the Holy Spirit. I need to follow his word, and I need to give my life over to it, because one of the downfalls of the church today, we look too much like the world. Now, I don't want us to look like total outcasts, but I don't want us to try to mirror the world so much to make people comfortable, because they don't need the world, they need Christ. So what Paul is doing in these verses and at the end of chapter 3, he looks at motives for living the new life. So the first point I want to make is you need to dress for success. I remember years ago I had a guy come to the church. He comes in, made me uncomfortable. Shirt came down to here. Long hair, except it was shaved, bald on the side. He came in, he's spouting. I said, what's wrong? I can't get a job. I'm out there, you know, I'm out there filling resumes, and they won't even talk to me. I just said, I wouldn't either. Which got a response. And after I got called some names, I said, you got to respect the person you want to hire you. I said, I'll take you to Penny's right now. I will buy you a suit. I will get you some really professional clothes. I have them. Then wear them. You don't go in shorts and showing your belly. I'm sorry. You got to respect. I remember years ago, Greenpeace came to our apartment. Kid came, have a good day. I'm not interested. I closed the door. He looked like a slob. I'm sorry. You want me to listen to you, then respect me enough to dress that way. But I want to talk about dressing for success. You know, one of the things I love about getting older, it's not that much about fashion. It's about what isn't wrinkled. You laugh? I did it today. Hey, this is Mel, watch this soon. I can put this thing on without ironing it. I do my own ironing. I have since I was young. I'm not putting that burden on my wife. You laugh. Those of you who are younger, maybe there's no really teens here, but you know what that was like. If you had a hair out of place, you wouldn't leave the house. But we need to dress for success. Paul says, clothe yourself with compassion. Why do we do that? I love the first verse 12. We are chosen. Anybody that accepts Christ is chosen by God. We are holy. Now, not everything I do is holy. But in God's eyes, because I have accepted Christ, he looks at me as perfect, as complete, as holy, and dearly loved. So I read those and I say, I need to live that way. How I interact with people has to reflect that. He goes on to say, you know, we need to have compassion. We need to have kindness. Church, we need to have humility. We need to have gentleness. We need to have patience. You know, I tell you, sometimes my mouth moves quicker than my brain. And I've learned I can say the right thing the wrong way. Or I can say the right thing at the wrong time. A gentle answer turns away wrath. We're not called to put walls up with our words. We're called to take them down. And what I want to talk about today is, yes, I want to see this church change because God wants to see us change. Now, I think this church is amazing, don't get me wrong, but I see that God said there's something he's doing. And a lot of it is, I want to encourage you guys, you have to accept that God has called you and he wants to use you. You got to have the confidence in yourself that God has in you. You got to have the confidence of the Holy Spirit working in you. When people come here, they need compassion. We need to love them. Now, let me also say one other thing. If you're talking to a new person, please, as soon as you go up to them, look at the clock. If you're there after 5 minutes, make an excuse to walk away. I remember once when we had pews, this one woman came early, and she doesn't know our church because she came at 9:35. I saw four people talk to her. So after about 10 minutes, I stood at the end of the pew. I said, I'm not going to bother you. I'm just protecting you. And she started laughing because she knew what I was saying. Now, we're a smaller church. We can't be like, you know, vultures on a dog, dead dog, you know, that boom. You got to have some wisdom here. I know what I'm talking about. My daughter lives in Southern Maryland. I see those turkey vultures. Them are ugly things, man. We need compassion. We need compassion. Would Christ let the words come out of his mouth that come out of our mouths? We need to be kind. Isn't it amazing how we want to be people to be kind toward us, but we give ourselves grace to not be kind? We need humility. It ain't about us, folks. It's not about your preferences. I'm saying, God, what is it you want? We need to be gentle. We need to be humble. You know, I would ask us to start bringing people to church. We need to be patient, I mean. Sometimes I have people come and I say, tell me what you think of New Covenant. You know, I know a book I read, this guy suggests, I haven't done this, even though I've had people come, you know, like a secret shopper, come to our church, leave, and tell me, what did you think about our church? Where did we hit a home run, and where did we strike out? So these words, do they describe you? If somebody said, hey, this person's really compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. One of the bad things, when I look back on my life, I was thinking about humility. Whew. As a father, there are times I wish I could go back and change some of the things I did because I wasn't as patient with my kids as I could have been. These words describe our church. They need to describe the safe environment. Somebody might come in, whatever. I don't know. They might be in a lifestyle we don't agree with. They might be struggling. You know, they might be down and out, like, you know, like Wade talked about last week. We got to love them. We got to care for them. You know, we all need to take a good, hard look at your life. What are the areas that the words that I said, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, do not describe you? Go to your spouse, go to a friend and say, hey, where do you see that I need to improve? You're not going to like the answer, but that's okay. God wants you to grow. God wants you to get better. You know, Paul understood that living God's way, it opens the door for people to hear us talk about Jesus. They don't want to hear my rules of do's and don'ts. They want me to love them so I have some kind of relationship with them, so when I talk to them, boom, they trust me. You know, it talks about us being holy. When you get married, that man and woman are set apart for one another. You don't like, hey, Mel, going on a date tonight, I'll be back. she has one Tuesday night. Not how it works. Shouldn't be how it works. If it is, you're in sin. We're set apart for almost 42 years now. We are set apart for God. Not so that you feel comfortable in this world, because the scriptures tell us you should not feel comfortable in this world because you're not of this world. You know, we're a set apart. We have to live that way. We need to enjoy the position we have in Christ. You know, it's amazing. When I don't live this way, when I get flippant, when I get short, when I get caustic, there's tension. But when I live God's way, it is amazing. And there's sometimes, you got to understand my personality. I'm a reactor. I vent easily. So there's a lot of times somebody says something to me, and I'm glad they are not a mind reader. By the way, if you saw the Super Bowl commercial with, I think it's Scarlett Johansson and her husband and Amazon, what is that, Alexa? That is a hilarious commercial. But anyways, I am glad people can't read my mind, because I am really laying into them. I bite my lip and I just say, Jesus, and I give them a gracious answer. If I can't, let me consider that, and then I'll walk away. I was talking to a friend of mine this week. His young daughter, 6, 7, I can't remember how old, was being bullied at school. Now, you know the father's heart. You just want to go kick butt and say, I don't care if you're 7, you will now die. I'm sorry, that's the father's heart. Can't do anything. You can talk to the teachers, obviously. At home, he said, I'm going to make it a safe haven. I am going to make it a safe place where she feels secure, where she can talk about her troubles, and we're just going to love on her. This is the church. Oh, I went through a season of being bullied in junior high. It was hell on earth. This is the church. Out there, people getting beaten up. You have baggage. We talked about last week, a lot of people. There's a lot of baggage that's going to come in these doors, and we have to have a safe place. I've told this story before. Melody and I brought this friend of ours. She gets saved. As soon as it gets done, somebody goes over and goes, hey, quit living with your boyfriend. Walked out those doors and never came back. Of course you shouldn't be in sin, but let's take our time. She's been saved for 2 stinking minutes. That's not a safe place. We need to dress for success. The second thing I want to talk about is the power of love. We are forgiven and unconditionally loved. 13, bear with each other. That means put up with one another. There are some, let me be really honest, there's some personalities I really like to get along with. There's some I never hope to see them again. Bear with, and you know what? There's some people that really like me and some people that are demented. They don't. I get that. I had a problem with a guy in the church up north. I never did anything to him. I had 2 different pastors come and visit, and they said, you know what a problem is? He doesn't like you. Now, what's not to like? We got to bear with one another. We have to put up with the shenanigans. I'm not saying compromise. You know I'm not saying compromise. And it says forgive one another. Have you ever been hurt? You gotta forgive. One of the most powerful testimonies Melody and I heard, and I have shared this before, a friend of ours got brutally raped. A month and a half after she was raped, she had a miscarriage for twins. Her testimony is, I was walking away from God, and through that experience, I came back to Jesus. I would do it again. Went and told other people. She would go to other churches and give that testimony. Oh, she forgave. She forgave. There is a power in forgiveness. I don't want to give you power over my life by not forgiving you. Now, this doesn't mean the experience is automatically puff, they go away. I still have the emotion. I still have the anger, but I find when I pray for people, Lord, help me to forgive them, then I pray for them, it works. God changes my heart. Now, in the beginning, I pray, Lord, take them home now. Not always God's answer, but we need to forgive. We talked about baggage last week. I know there's abuse. I know there's ugly abuse. You've been abused, some of you. Forgive and let the healing power of Christ come into you. How can God forgive us if we don't forgive others? You know, God forgives us. We should go to hell. We need to forgive, and we need to not retaliate. A lot of times we get tested. Somebody we have something against, we have the opportunity to do them wrong. And man, isn't that really a really great feeling? I mean, you can just envision them squirming and going through all kinds of turmoil. And it really is a happy thought. If you're honest, what does God say? Love your enemies. Wow. I don't know about you. I'm challenged by that. But when we hold on to anger, it consumes us. And I did talk a few weeks ago about if you have something against someone you can't let go, you have to go talk to them. You have to. Or pretty soon there's going to be such a great divide that you can't walk in unity with them whatsoever. But we also have to learn, when you hold on to your anger, and it poisons you. And it gives you so much pain. You know, I have seen people, they go through bad things, and they just don't let God touch them. And they just become miserable people. And Christians shouldn't be miserable people, because we got the living God inside of us. And please understand, I'm not downplaying what's happened to anybody. Some things are unspeakable. But you have to release it to Jesus Christ. Verse 14, I love this. Paul writes, and over all these virtues, this is the overcoat, man. You're dressed in a great way, man. You got compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. Now you put on the coupe de la grace that binds it all together. I remember when I'm in college, there's a store called Chess King. I don't know if you remember. If you're old, you remember that. I read something on Facebook. Do you realize, baby boomers, 1928 is as far away from 1970 as the year 2022, not to make you feel old. So I go to Chess King, I get this really long coat with the belt, and I have this hat, this really fancy hat. And with my insecure personality, I think I wore it once. Then I sold it to a friend of mine in college, made my money back. So we go out one night, and the girl with us goes, you know, that hat would look a lot better on him. So I didn't say nothing. But anyways, so the coupe de la grace, you're putting on the finishing touch. Your fur coat or whatever is love. God calls us to love. I found this quote by Billy Graham, and I love it. Love isn't just an emotion, but a deliberate decision to do what is best for someone, i.e., not you. By nature, we all tend to put ourselves first. And when someone gets in our way, we react in anger instead of love. But when Christ comes into our hearts, he begins to replace our selfishness with his love. We begin to see the person through God's eyes, and we learn to love and forgive him or her the same way God loves and forgives us, freely and fully, in spite of our faults. Just like we're forgiven, we have to forgive. You see, love, we got to choose to do this. And I'm not saying loving yourself. I'm saying loving other people. Place others, think of others as better than yourself. That goes against our view, goes against our nature. It's like in a marriage. I grew up a wife and two daughters. Let me just say, Rambo wasn't on the VCR a lot when my kids were young. Okay? We used to b- belonged to some Christian rent-a-movie thing. I can't remember. Buttercream Gang or something like that. Is that it? Okay. One summer, my stinking kids watched it every day. I would come home from work and they're watching. I just wanted to put a pencil in my eye to never watch the stupid. But what would I do? My kids wanted to watch it. And I learned as a husband, I will go and watch Coal Miner's Daughter when you're a newlywed. Don't make that face. You didn't go for me, girl. Because then she might go watch Star Wars with me. I did take my wife to see Lord of the Rings, and she really enjoyed the movie because she got some of the best sleep that week. That's okay. I forgave her. So what am I trying to say? When you put on love, you put other people first. I had a friend of mine, Greg, used to go to church here years ago. I remember his little guy got to be a year and a half old. Greg got so mad, he goes, I used to be able to buy one pizza, and the little guy would only eat one piece. So last night, he wanted the second piece, and I really wanted it. I said, oh, some of you know what I'm talking about. AJ, you really don't want that, do you? You're full, aren't you? No, Daddy, I am really hungry. So he begrudgingly gave him the last piece. I'm going to tell you one thing about moms. Moms, man, they don't even take it. They take it. My wife, I go, Mel, you want this? No. I ain't stupid enough to say, are you sure? Say, okay, it's good, I'm gone. I'm just giving an example of how you shouldn't act toward other people. Paul mentions love last because that's how we're supposed to treat people. You're not going to like everybody, but you're supposed to love them. You got to let the Holy Spirit. I love John the Apostle. He went from being a son of thunder to the disciple of love. Now, doesn't that sound revolting? Yes, but that's how we're supposed to be. God wants us to be safe. If somebody doesn't trust you, they're not going to open up to you. And if they don't open up to you, maybe the devil gets a firmer grip on their life. But if they trusted us enough, they would let us love them. That's our church's testimony, and we're going to go deeper in this. You know, the one thing I love about God, we talked, you know, Wade talked about baggage last week. You don't have to clean yourself up. Have I had people tell me, when my life turns around, I'll come to church? I said, well, maybe your life will turn around if you really come to church, not because of us, but to commit to Christ. I was a mess when I came to the Lord. It's okay. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. But as I said earlier, then, you know, we have to really walk the walk with him. You know, but Jesus talks about rest for our souls. It doesn't mean we put our feet up, sit back and watch the Daytona 500, which is fine because I'm probably going to do that myself. But what it means is once I got saved, I knew no matter what happened in my life, it's going to be okay. It was going to be okay. When tragedies have hit, when hardships have hit, when things happen, I do not understand. There's something inside of me at peace. Even though, with my personality, I can have a little turmoil, I know it's going to be okay. I don't know how God's going to work it out. I just know he's going to work it out. And will we be anxious? Yes. Gideon was a man of faith. You don't think Gideon, or at least one of the 300 men with him, when they saw the thousands of the enemy, their heart beat just a little bit faster? It's not like every time we walk in faith. In fact, very rarely will I say when we walk in faith, we have total peace, because faith is trusting God with the unknown. And for us to fulfill God's call, and this, you know, this church to fulfill the call, we need to make the dry bones come to life. We need to obey the word of God. Christ says a lot of times, you love him, I'm a friend to God, good, obey my commands. The Bible isn't a choice. It's not like a buffet. Remember Midtown, over here was now his apartment or something. It used to be a Chinese buffet. We used to go there after church. I'd load my plate up. My wife goes, you know you can go back for seconds, right? But it was all a challenge and if I could do it without dropping anything. Jesus, the Bible's not like, oh, I'll take some of that. I'll take some. I am not touching the sushi. I'm good. No, we don't get to pick and choose. I'm going to ignore the sexual part of the Bible, God, but I will obey the tithing or whatever. No. It don't work that way. God ain't no smorgasbord. He ain't a buffet. You do what he says. Oswego, New York, is viewed as a city that cares. It was a safe haven to people that have been through terrible tragedies. The only city in the country, a safe haven, they opened their doors. The kids went to school. The city people, you need more food? Boom, I'm going to bring you food. We're going to love you because, man, that's going to be our testimony. I find a lot of times, especially when people find out what I do for a living, I got to listen to people. The more I listen, the more there's a bond. I don't talk, and I'm good at that. But the more I listen to people and ask questions, the more they lay down their lives, the more they talk to me, and they feel like, you know what? This person genuinely cares for me. Do you remember in the 80s, we did a lot of stupid things. We did it at this church for a while, too. Who is new today? Would you stand? I mean, my wife and I moved up here. I'm in college, and we're going to different churches. We say, I did it last week. Now this week, you talk. Finally, we came to New Covenant, and people really cared for us. It was genuine. It wasn't just, you're the visitor, let me talk to you. That's what I want to get back to. You don't talk to them too long, okay? But you talk to them. We're supposed to be a safe haven. You know, I love seeing lives touched and doors open. We're going to face more opportunities. You know, we got to be deliberate about Jesus and loving others the way Christ loved us. When you get mad at somebody, take a walk, take a step back, don't answer. One thing when we used to discipline our kids, we never did it in anger. If something happened where we had to make a decision about punishment, okay, you know what, go hang out in your room for half an hour, we're going to talk to you, we'd calm down, we'd pray through it, then we'd do what we had to do. Let me end with this. John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. We are called to lay down our lives. The amount that we resist this, we won't see God move because it's on us. It's not on him. He's already doing it. If I resist obeying, I tie God's hands. You know, somebody mentioned, we're talking, my mom, why would God send good people to hell? I saw this thing on video. This young man answered it. I loved it. He said, God doesn't. We're all going to hell. We're born with the nature of Adam. We are on the pathway to hell, every human being. Jesus came to give us an exit. He came to save us from that. So in closing, summary, Jesus Christ loves us unconditionally. What does that mean? I can't act in any way where he loves me more, nor can I act any way where he loves me less. You know, Jesus never compromised. He's always there for us. I am not talking about compromise. I am talking about an environment where people feel safe and they feel comfortable. You know, Jesus Christ is a safe haven. Regardless of what my life brings, I know I can trust him. You know, we are called, hello, to devote our lives to the Bible and living God's way. I and you need to represent Christ in a way that honors him with my life. We need to treat people the way God treats us, and the way we wanted to be treated. Would you close your eyes? Lord, there's a lot going on. just even here, with redoing the sanctuary, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to start some different meetings in a few months, Lord. The one constant is you. Let us represent you well. My faith needs to be evidenced through my actions. Too long have believers said yes to you, but lived their own way for their own desires, and that hurts the testimony of the church. Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. I'm going to take it a step further, Lord. When you tell us to consider others as better than ourselves, I'm thinking you're saying, I want you to lay down your life for people that even aren't your friends. As we invest in others, it opens the door for your Holy Spirit to knit their lives to us. There is going to be a trust, Lord. Father, I love the vision of Ezekiel when those dry bones came to life. Even when they were fully formed, they were incomplete. You had to breathe life into them. You had to put spirit into them. God, our lives are incomplete without relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit in us. God, you have called us to a new day. You have called us to trust you. You have called me, and I believe this church, to prayerfully look at the scriptures and say, Lord, where does my life not add up? And to repent, seek your forgiveness, and to make the commitment not to repeat that and to live for you. Lord, I'm excited by what you are doing. I'm excited that you say, you know what, you're going to move in a way where people are going to see it's you and not man. Amen to that, Lord. We want a church that when people leave here, they don't lift up one particular part of the service, but they leave and say, God touched me today. It's all about you, Jesus. And Lord, I once again want to pray for people that are going through sorting out baggage of the past. Let them just go to you, Father, and allow you to heal them completely. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling with forgiveness, that we wouldn't continue to let those who have hurt us to dominate our lives, Lord, that we would turn the situation over to you, because, Lord, I trust you more with that situation than I trust me. Let us walk in that freedom of being forgiven and forgiving others. Lord, I just pray for a blessing on this church. Lord, I know as we move forward, there's going to be stumbles. There's going to be warfare because the enemy doesn't like to see forward momentum with your people. But we're going to keep our eyes on the cross, Lord. In your name we pray. And they said, amen. Blessings. Thank you.